Recover Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today.
Laban and this and that. He had served so much. But now he's at an older age and he has his 12 sons, which are the 12 tribes of Israel, which because Jacob's name will later become Israel, right? Or it was Israel, changed by God himself. Now, he had Joseph as his favorite son. Do you have a favorite kid? Don't say nothing, because this is live. You never know if they're listening. Okay, so just be very, very careful what you say. But he had a favorite son. His name was Joseph, and he had them all dressed up. I mean, he made a coat that nobody else had. He was just the apple of the eye of Jacob. And, of course, his other brothers, and maybe even his sister, were jealous and envious, and it was brewing in their hearts. You can tell. It had been brewing since they were kids. Oh, yeah, your dad's favorite. So they decided to get rid of him at an opportunity. See, they were all out in the field working, and Jacob says to Joseph, go ahead and get dressed and go check out your brothers and see if they're doing their job. Notice that once again it keeps popping out of my mouth, brothers, right, as we say down here in the bayou. I was talking to two wonderful ladies this morning, and they looked at me weird when I said brothers, right? They did, yeah. Yeah, they still looking at me weird, I think, but I'm not sure. But I met two wonderful gals this morning that I'm going to introduce to you later on. But you see, where was I? His brothers, yeah. His brothers decided to get rid of him, and he ends up being thrown in a cistern. And thank God it was empty. It wasn't full of water, because he would have drowned. Or maybe he could swim. I don't know. But his brothers decided that they were going to kill him. They said, well, if we kill him, then that's pretty bad. Let's just leave him out in the cistern. That cistern, of course, is like a well, a big cave where there's water. And they just left him down there to die and said, well, whatever. And then they decided, no, let's go ahead and sell him. So they sell him as a slave over to some Egyptians. And he ends up working for a man who was high in government, Potiphar. And Potiphar was, I'll talk about Potiphar in a second. Well, while Joseph was serving Potiphar, his wife tried to seduce him. And she accused him. And so Joseph ended up being sent to prison. His master himself locked him up in prison. But guess what happened? Let's go to chapter 39, chapter before, and let's just read four verses, from verses 20 to 23, and see what was happening. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. He was over it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. It is just like me and you. Yeah. What an amazing thing was God doing through Joseph. This man is being wrongly accused, sold into slavery, and now he's in jail. Here's Joseph, condemned by his own master, but innocent of the charges. Today, as we leave this place, I want you to get a picture of Joseph. And I know that is very interesting, because for the most part, we put ourselves in Joseph's shoes. when we go through trials, when we go through our own difficulties, and when people betray us, and when we are done wrong, and when we go through the trials of this life. And that's okay. I want you to put on his shoes for a little while. But later, we're going to see the one who really, really, really put Joseph's shoes on and made them better. All right? So let's go. Let's look at this thing. As we see in Genesis chapter 39, in those verses that we just read, I want you to know that God is on your side. If you're on the side of God, God will never be out of your side. He's on your side. I don't care if you're on the side of the Chiefs or the Eagles. Boo-hoo. The important thing I know is that God is on my side. That makes me a winner. I don't need to go to a Super Bowl. I'm an overcomer. Amen? You too. Whatever, okay. You are an overcomer. God is on your side. Amen. So whether you're in freedom or enslaved or even in prison, Joseph enjoyed God's favor and mercy. You see, you don't have to be in the best circumstances of your life. You don't have to be in the best job or your dream home or your dream whatever. Oh, yeah, Joseph was called a dreamer. I forgot about that. You don't have to be living the American dream. You don't have to be living whatever dream. You could be in the nightmare, and still God is on your side. You need to know that. Do not let your circumstance determine your outcome. Trust God that he will overcome for you. And when he overcomes, he makes you what? An overcomer. If he's on your side. So look at where you are today and find a way to honor him, whatever your circumstance is. And remember this, you could be in good shape today, but that doesn't mean you're going to be in the best shape tomorrow. So think about that. Give him honor. Give him praise. Glory to God, because he's on your side. Amen? All right. Also, Joseph could have been or become bitter. Instead, he became better. What are you? I'm butter. Digo. Bitter or better. Right? You can be bitter. You can be butter. You can be better. Right? I'd rather you be better. Amen? Nowhere in all of this you see Joseph complaining. Look at what my brothers did to me. I'm in a cistern. They sold me. I'm a slave. Oh, no, I'm accused. I'm innocent. Nowhere you find Joseph complaining or melting like butter and becoming bitter. He became better out of all of this. Nowhere you hear him complaining. He never threw a pity party. While some people fall to the bottom with pressure, some others rise with the pressure. You see, I want to be like a donut. Okay, hold on. See, you throw a donut in the oil, and what does it do? It rises, okay? It comes to the top, and then it gets sweetened up. Oh, man. I'm in for a donut right now. You see, some people fall to the pressure. Some people rise with the pressure. Some people just burn in the heat. Some people rise in the heat. And when we're placed in the fire, we too need to rise to the top like Joseph did. Joseph did not complain after all that happened to him. He just served. Guess what? You can serve even when you're pressed. Because God is on your side. Simple as that. You see, this shows where your trust is at. When you find yourself in a difficult place and you aren't able to serve. When you aren't able to have compassion for others. I'm going to show you that in a moment. But I want you to think of this. Who do you trust? Where is your trust? God doesn't want you to be bitter. He wants you to be better. He wants you to rise. Now, think about what was said here about Joseph. Anything that he took on prospered. Now, that doesn't mean that Joseph was all that in a bag of chips. That just means what I said at the beginning, that God was on his side. You can be all that in a bag of chips and still not prosper. You need God in order to prosper. Now, I'm not talking about having money. I'm not talking about having wealth. I'm not talking about becoming a millionaire. I'm not talking about you owning all the cattle on a hill, whatever that saying. I can't remember. It's in the Bible. But you see, in God, we can prosper in so many things. I want you to think about this. Whatever God entrusts you, he will prosper. That's why he gave it to you. You see, if you find yourself failing and failing and failing at so many things, then we need to regroup. I find myself sometimes failing at things and thinking, was that me or was that God? Because anything that God entrusts us will prosper. All right? Now, it's not about money. It's about ministry. It's about what you do, not what you make. Okay? So I want us to think like Joseph. Right now, I've been stripped of my coat. Right now, I've been stripped from my dignity. I've been stripped from everything. Not only my brothers took my good-looking coat that my dad gave me, then Potiphar's wife used the coat to accuse me, and now I'm here in prison. And yet, it's not about me. It's about the one who stands with me. You see, we all have something that God wants us to do. We all have a purpose for living. We all have a mission from God. We all have a task to complete. We all have a path to walk. And it may look a little different for you or for you or for you or for you and me. But we need to discover it. We need to go down on our knees and pray about it. We need to allow God to speak to us through his word and through the circumstances and trust him in the process. We need to trust him. You know he's on your side. Are you sure? Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that God is on your side? Okay, I don't hear many people that are sure here. I just got scared. I got scared right now. Because God is on your side. Amen? Yes, thank you. All right. Now let's go to our next point and let's just continue on. In chapter 40... let's just read the first four verses. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Once again, Joseph is in charge. This is it. So you do your job. He was assigned a task, and I want you to know, God is on your side, but also I want you to know, you need to do your job wherever you are. Don't wait till God places you there to serve. Start serving here, and maybe God will bring you there. But a lot of times, we don't want to serve until we get there. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's just go do this. You see, there are others that are involved in this story. Joseph is not the only one. We see the cupbearer, we see the baker. They were both servants of Pharaoh. Now, I want you to understand that even in jail, of course, that we see Joseph favored. The captain of the guard charged Joseph in taking care of these two people. Now, it is said by some theologians that even Potiphar was the captain of this jail. He was the warden, let's just say. Some people believe that it was Potiphar himself who was in charge of the jail. Now, this is pretty weird. You see, let's just say I'm Potiphar. Okay, you're my servant, and you try to do something with my wife. I wouldn't send you to jail. I kill you. Okay? And as a matter of fact, that's what he deserved if he was guilty. He was supposed to be executed. But yet, Potiphar, if he was the warden, he sent him to jail. He kept him in jail. He kept him alive. Why did he do that? Maybe he trusted Joseph more than his own wife? I don't know. But you see, Joseph was supposed to be simply beheaded. But he wasn't. Why didn't he execute him? Well, maybe he saw something in him or trusted in him or something. You see, you are not here to be served by others, but to serve others. Joseph was put in charge of the baker and the cupbearer. He needs to serve others. Now, you thought you were in charge to be served. No, you're in charge to serve. Joseph served them. He was a high authority, yet he found himself serving. He did not use his high position or his status in order to have the cupbearer and the baker and everybody else in jail serve him. This is Joseph's quality, his character, a quality that Jesus kind of exemplified for all of us. Jesus himself said, I did not, or the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to serve. Now, guess what? Next time, he ain't coming to serve. He left us serving. He's coming. He's doing judgment. And after that, it's kind of like a picture in heaven. He's going to serve us again. Wow. When is he going to be served? We're supposed to be serving him right now. Amen? This is it. You see, but Joseph served them. He didn't say, well, wait a second. You're telling me that I have to be in charge of these two criminals or accused to be criminals? Maybe Joseph was thinking, they've been accused. Maybe like me, wrongly accused. You see, we see Joseph doing like a trailer to the big movie. Jesus being the big movie, Joseph being the trailer. You know, a little glimpse, a little preview. Joseph actually prefigures Jesus. Now, I want you to think, Joseph is an innocent man. Jesus was innocent. And Joseph went to prison. Jesus came into our own prison, and he took on all of the hardships and all of our temptations, worse than we can imagine, yet he never looked for our pity. Jesus was never like, oh my God, look at me. Look at me, guys. I'm the suffering servant. He was called the suffering servant because he was to suffer for our sin. But he never called himself and tried to get pity from anybody. Jesus came into our prison to care, to serve, to help us in our own sadness. Now, when Jesus lives through you and me, then we will care about people's needs, sadness, anguish, and bitterness. You see, Joseph cared for the cupbearer, and he cared for the baker. Joseph was focused on their needs and not his own. He wasn't self-centered. He was Christ-centered. And Christ hadn't even come yet. So even when you have your own needs, Jesus' heart needs to flow out of your own for the needs of others. Jesus added humanity to his deity. Think about that. He did not consider his status as God, but he took and put that aside and put on humanity for us. He came down. He humbled himself. He served. It should be easier for us because we're closer to servant type than Jesus was. But no, we won't. It's difficult because of our sin. But these were two important men that Joseph was placed in charge of, and he served them. No matter if you're in charge, serve. Amen? Remember, when God puts you in charge of something, it's for you to serve. We have to have a willing heart that is compassionate and worried about others. Now, I want you to put on that heart of compassion, but let's look a little bit further. Let's read in verses 5 and continuing on in chapter 40. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Look at Joseph. He's in prison. He comes down to the cafeteria, the jail cafeteria, and he sees the baker and the cupbearer in the corner, all sad and moping around. Did Joseph say, well, whatever, I'm doing my own thing, you know, because when you're in jail, you got to carry your own weight and you got to do for yourself because you don't know who'll be after you. And he's like, you know what, let me go check these guys out. Have you been checking on other people? Joseph's answer, you see, went to them, and he says, you know, what's going on? And they said, well, we had some dream, you know, as we continue on in verse 8. Then they said to him, we have had a dream. There is no one to interpret it. Then Joseph and said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. Come on, tell me. God interprets. See, Joseph didn't go out there, hey, man, don't you know I'm a fortune teller? They call me the dreamer. Matter of fact, check out this T-shirt. Right? No, he didn't do that. He said, hey, don't you know that God interprets your dreams? Don't you know that he's got it? Don't you know that he knows your dreams? He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. And then they start telling them about their dreams. This is pretty curious here because Joseph is not saying, let me take care of you. He's saying, let's go to God so he can take care of you. He had some dreams of his own. You remember his dreams in chapter 37? He was dreaming that, and when it was interpreted, that he would be ruling over his brothers. And his brothers didn't like that. He didn't attribute himself as the interpreter, but he said that God does. Imagine Joseph, the dreams he had in prison, yet he still believed God. Some people want to serve in the palace, but God wants them to serve in the prison first. You see, he had the dream that he would be ruling and serving. You know, this looks like a palace, but yet he found himself in prison. You see, before you're placed in charge of the palace, you have to be willing to serve in the prison. You get it? Serve in the little, and you'll be entrusted with much. That's what God does. You got to start where you are, even if it's a bad place. Just because you're going through difficulties doesn't mean that, you know, you're not free from your own responsibility of being compassionate for others. That's what Joseph did. He relied upon God. He did not discount God because he was in prison, because he had been sold, because he had been wrongly accused. He understood that the Lord was with him, and others noticed. Everybody else noticed that there was something about Joseph. What are people noticing about you and me? Are people saying, oh my God, God is with that person. Oh my God, God is with that one too. I see it. Do they see it in us? They better. Not because they need to look closer, but because we need to shine. So when you're under pressure, and what do people see in you? Because that's when Jesus should show the best of himself, when we're under difficult circumstances. I know that we have the next service over. The next service is in Spanish. And most Hispanics, you know, in some way, shape, or fashion, are kind of worried about all this situation and everything else. But who's on your side? Come on. Was on your side. God is on your side. We need to believe him. And we need to be encouraging. We need to be in faith. We need to be in hope about that. Because, and I said this in a pastor's meeting this past, not Saturday, but the Saturday before. I was in a pastor's meeting, Hispanic pastors, and we were talking about the situation and what's going on with deportations and raids and all that. And in one way or another, I said something that kind of rattled some people's cages. I tend to do that. I don't know why. But I said, you know, when you look at the story, when you look at the history of the church that started in the book of Acts with the downpouring of the Holy Spirit with just 12 people, ever since that day up until 2025, right up to today, when you look at the history of the church in its growth and forming and the attacks and the difficulties, the church grows the most when it's persecuted. So I said, if we don't grow out of this, we will never grow. The church will be stuck. So we need to be growing. It's from the inside out. Trust God. I should quit here and say amen, but I'm not, because I'm not done. That was just lanyap. All right, so let's think about this. God has given us his word. God has given us his promise. And he has given them to us so that even in the midst of our bad circumstances, we can bring our compassion and bring the hope to others like Joseph did. Allow God to speak through you into the sadness of those around you. Don't stay quiet. Now, let's read a little bit more. Where were we? So, the chief cupbearer, in verse 9, told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me. And on the vine were there three branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out. And its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. So I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do not do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. He asked for help. Remember me. But then, for I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that he interpreted the other dream favorably, he said to Joseph, ha, 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 me. I also had a dream, and in my dream, behold, there were three baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top of the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are also 3 days. Within 3 days, or three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh right off of you. Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. That's not a dream. That's a nightmare. Something went wrong here. It's funny, but sometimes I'm tempted, okay, to think that the baker might not have a dream. He just said, oh, you interpreted that? How about mine? But apparently he did. You know, I'm just making stuff up now. That's me struggling with the text, okay? But you see two dreams here and two different outcomes. This is so, so crazy. When Jesus lives through us, you know, so you got to put compassion and all of that. And you see the dreams are all listed there. But they've got, okay, dreams. Dreams. I know you're curious because some of you are like, oh, and you know what I dreamed last night? I don't want to hear your dreams. Because I'm not a dream interpreter. I don't go down to Jackson Square either. I'm going to allow you to do that with God all alone, because many people will come to me and say, well, Pastor, I had a dream last night. I'm like, now, does that, you know, am I to say that God can't speak through dreams? Of course not. But I want you to think about this. In chapter 20 of Genesis, God spoke in a dream to Abimelech. Who was Abimelech? A pagan king, okay? Now, he, and of course, he spoke to him about Sarah's status, that she was married to Abraham. But this is a pagan king in chapter 20. Then he speaks to Jacob at least two times, right, in dreams. Then he speaks to Laban, who was a heathen. Then to the Midianites, were a bunch of heathens in Judges 7. Then he speaks to Solomon in dreams in 1 Kings chapter 3. Then he speaks to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know, I've seen it in the cartoons, but he became like a llama. He became an animal. And this is some crazy stuff, right? And in Daniel chapter 7, he speaks to Daniel through a dream. And then God also spoke to Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father, when we see that in Matthew chapter 1. And then twice, and then God also speaks to Pilate's wife. She's also not of God's people in Matthew 29. So God spoke to believers, and he also spoke to unbelievers and pagans. Actually, when you look at all the times when God spoke through dreams in the Bible, it was mostly pagan. That's why I'm careful with dreams. And of course, many Muslims claim to have dreams about Jesus, and that's how many have been converted to Christianity. I don't knock dreams out, but I'm just very careful with them, okay? Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 3 and 7, let's see if we can read that. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be... let's just stop there. I just want you to know, just be careful with dreams, okay? We see false prophets use dreams in Deuteronomy chapter 13. We see Jeremiah in chapter 20. So I want you to think, most dreams are the product of an overactive mind. When our brains are processing all the information on all our daily activities and stuff. Your dreams, thank you. I appreciate it, but you interpret them with God, please. Don't let me interpret them. I'll come up with some stuff. It may not be right, so I'd rather stay away. I'm not a dream interpreter. I'm a preacher. And I got to preach this already written. I don't have to make up stuff. Your dreams are between you and God, please, okay? Now, be mindful. I want you to think about this because a lot of times we talk about revelation. I'm a firm believer that there is no revelation going on. Think about this. Revelation from Genesis to Revelation. That's it. This is revelation right here. What happens from there on is illumination. We are illuminated in our minds about the revelation that's been already revealed. Okay? So I want you to think about that, because if God was revealing still new stuff, then this is not complete. And that's not what it says. Amen? This is complete. From cover to cover. It's done. No more word from God. It is all written there. But whatever word you get from God should illuminate your mind to the truth of Scripture, which is the revelation of God. Okay? This is the primary source of God to speak to you. Don't go chasing after dreams. Chase after this, and God may even give you a dream. Amen? This is important that we understand. This is our primary source. You cannot equate or make equal a dream to what's been done in the Bible. This is what people are doing today. They're relying upon dreams. Now, you think about this. How many of you believe that this is actually word for word the word of God and God alone? So if you're going to trust this, why are you going to trust a dream that you don't know if it's God or not? Trust this first. Amen? Let's be reminded that the word we already have, and we want God to speak to you through the word. And if you want God, I tell you what, here's an idea. Try this exercise. You want God to speak to you in a dream? Go to bed with your Bible and read it until you fall asleep. Every night, every night, every night. And if you're like, well, yeah, but I don't know. My dreams, I don't know if they're from God or not. But guess what? What happened before you went dreaming, that was from God. Trust in it, okay? Maybe he will, but I want you to think about this. If you fall in love with someone, some of you have fallen in love before. Some of you are in love right now. I hope so, because I see some people in here that are like grabbing onto each other and stuff. I hope that's love and not just I'm cold. Or maybe both. Right, Rosa? But I want you to think about this. What about Rosa and Bill? They're getting into this relationship. In the beginning, they're getting to know each other. And Bill says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to bed. And I want you to dream about me. I want to be in your dreams. Hey, that sounds pretty romantic. Yeah? And Rosa goes to bed and she's trying to dream dreams about Bill talking to her, courting her, giving her a ring or something. And you just go chasing the dream until he speaks to you. Do you do that? No. You grab the phone and say, hey, when do we meet? And you go in person and you talk to each other in person. You want the person to talk to you in person, not through a dream. Through a dream, you're not going to build a good relationship through dreams, let me tell you. You're going to be heartbroken if you rely on dreams. You want to rely on reality, face to face, right? Speak to me, my love, while I dream. Yeah, go ahead. Try that. So Joseph saw them there and they were sad and he comes at them and he's consumed with compassion and leads them to serve them, right? And he interprets the dreams and he says, hey, remember me when you go out there, you know, but I want you to look at these two guys, because he tells the cupbearer, you're going to go back to being a cupbearer. You're going to go back to serving the king. You're going to go back to your same duties. But he tells the baker, you're not going to go bake. You're going to be baked. Guess what? You're not turning the oven. You're going to be in the oven. You're not going back to that. You know that? Wait a second. Something went wrong here. Now you see the two pictures, deliverance and judgment. Deliverance and judgment. And Joseph was faithful to bring both messages. And if you want to be a good message for Christ, you need to let people know about deliverance, but you also need to let them know about judgment. You see, from the pulpit, we need to preach deliverance, hope, love, but we also need to preach judgment, condemnation. We need to preach both. We need to be willing to preach the cupbearer's sermon or the baker's sermon, whatever we need to preach that day. All right? So we got to be careful with those who say, oh, it's just that, you know, you preach too much on judgment. I want to preach on both. Help me. Keep me accountable, okay? You are either in judgment or you're either in deliverance. Do you know where you're going? Are you sure you're not going back to an oven to be baked by God himself? Or going back to serving him? The baker was toast. See, the cupbearer was innocent and the baker was guilty in the sight of God. But I want us to go to the end, from Joseph to Jesus. When you look at the last four verses that we just read, there's kind of an uncertainty here. Because Joseph said, in 3 days, you're going to be delivered. And in 3 days, you're going to be judged. 3 days. Imagine everybody thinking, ooh, counting the days, both of them. All the people in the jail, everybody's like, what's going to happen in 3 days? You think what Joseph said? Oh, if that doesn't come through, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to Joseph. Well, he's already in jail anyway. You know, they're all waiting for the judgment. Joseph was justified. It took him more than 3 days, though. But the Lord was with him the whole time. But these two guys, we're going to face their true judgment in 3 days. You see, while Joseph was forgotten by his brothers and Potiphar's wife wronged him and Potiphar imprisoned him, and the cupbearer, 3 days later, is set free. And guess what he did? He forgot Joseph. The cupbearer forgot him after he had interpreted the dream. I get confused between Jesus and Joseph, but that's a good thing. Joseph pleaded and asked him to remember him, and he forgot him. But guess what? God will never forget you. God had a purpose for Joseph, and he is preparing Joseph for something bigger and greater and better. You're not going to rule the prison anymore, Joseph. In a little while, you're going to be ruling basically the whole Egyptian empire. Wow. Others have wronged you. Others have forgotten about you. You just need to trust me, says God. I have not forgotten you. I have not given up on you. What a wonderful thing to know is that God is with us and for us. He will never forget us, never leave us, nor forsake us. He said, while your circumstances may be difficult and you want them changed, I don't blame you. God wants to change you through your circumstances. God is in the business. You see, God's main business is not changing your circumstances. God's main business is changing you and me. So let's just put it together, because this is all pointing to one man, Jesus. Now that you have had Joseph's shoes for a while, take them off. Take them off. And I want you to put cupbearer's shoe and a baker's shoe, both of them, one in one. The other day I was watching basketball, and I see that some players are wearing sometimes a black sneaker and a yellow sneaker or something. You know, they're wearing different colors. Well, I want you to put the baker on one foot, and I want you to put the cupbearer on the other foot, and think of yourself, deliverance or condemnation, and allow Jesus to put on Joseph's shoes, because those shoes belong to him anyway. You see, I believe that these two men were in that jail because they needed to meet Joseph. And I believe that you are here today because you need to meet Jesus. One was condemned and one was favored. I want you to think of Jesus in the shoes of Joseph, an innocent man that came into our prison and shared our condition. This innocent prisoner, Jesus, revealed God's message to you and me. That's what he did. And this innocent prisoner we know as Jesus was proven to be true in 3 days. Joseph shows us Jesus. And the message that he brings is a message from God. Life or death? Do you need a message from God? Don't you want a message from God? Look to Jesus. Now, there's a contrast between Joseph and Jesus, of course. Joseph's word could only rescue the cupbearer because the cupbearer didn't do anything. He was not guilty. But Jesus' message is also for the guilty. I found myself in the baker's shoe. I had them both on, and so did you. You were never not guilty. We were guilty as charged. Our sin. But Jesus did for you and me different than Joseph could do. You see, Joseph is just a shadow of Jesus. But Jesus is the real deal. He is greater than Joseph. He came into our prison and he brought us a word of rescue. So I want you to trust him. He took the penalty of your sin and mine. He went into our prison and opened a door for us to be delivered, even in our guilt. It's important that we understand that we will be judged. But when you trust him, you'll have the cupbearer's shoes on, even when you are still guilty as charged. Joseph could only save the innocent one. But to you and me, the innocent one, Jesus came to save you and I, even when we were guilty.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, and you would like to listen to previous sermons or more information about our church, visit our website, www.horebnola.com.